Welcome to the Holistic Beauty Podcast. We are going to chat all things holistic and integrative beauty and skin health. We are licensed naturopathic doctors practicing in sunny California, and we are changing how skincare is looked at. We want you to understand that skin health is a manifestation of balance from within. And each week, we are bringing you tidbits to complete your skincare routine from the inside out and the outside in. So let's get into it.
So just as a reminder, the information in this podcast is not medical advice and is only meant for educational purposes. None of the information is meant to treat, cure, prevent, or diagnose any conditions or disease that you may have. So please speak to your doctor or licensed healthcare provider before starting anything new.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Holistic Beauty Podcast.
Welcome back.
So it's November. Happy November, everybody. And did you guys actually know that November is National Healthy Skin Month?
Ooh.
Yeah. So according to the American Academy of Dermatology, this is from their website, your skin is your body's largest organ, so it's important to take good care of it. November is National Healthy Skin Month, and this year we are helping you achieve hashtag your healthiest skin from head to toe. But we're going to be talking about holistic health here on our podcast. But today we're going to be talking about fungal acne. A lot of people have been asking us on social media to talk about this, and then I've also been seeing a lot of posts on it on TikTok. So I'm really excited to talk about fungal acne. So today we're going to be outlining what fungal acne is, how is it different from regular acne, what causes fungal acne. I guess you guys can already tell it's like caused by fungus, but then how it's tested for and how it's treated from a conventional perspective, and then how a naturopathic doctor treats it. Yeah, I'm really excited for this episode. So should we get into it, my friend?
Yep.
Cool. So, my friend, what is fungal acne?
Fungal acne is medically known as Pityriasporum folliculitis or Melassezia folliculitis. This is actually a yeast that can infect the pore or hair follicle, and it leads to symptoms that are very similar to acne vulgaris, which is regular acne that people experience. So the difference between regular acne and fungal acne is that regular acne is caused by bacteria.
Well, fungal acne is caused by fungus.
Yep.
And if you do want to listen or learn more about regular acne or acne vulgaris, just listen to episodes 2 and 3 of the podcast. There's more information on that. And then there's a second difference, actually. It's how it looks and feels. So in regards to fungal acne, it's usually uniform in nature, and it's like little bumps. And sometimes it could feel itchy, while regular acne or acne vulgaris has different shapes of bumps. So it could be papules, pustules, nodules. And then sometimes these nodules can be large and painful. And then there's also going to be like locations. So in regards to that, some common locations for fungal acne is like the forehead extending to the hairline and the upper portion of the back. But it could also happen on the chest and upper limbs. And then in regards to acne vulgaris, it usually happens on the face, forehead, chest, shoulders, and upper back. And then they respond to antibiotics differently too. So in regards to fungal acne, since it's not bacterial in nature, it doesn't really respond to antibiotics. And sometimes it could worsen after taking antibiotics. Yeah. While in regards to regular acne, it could sometimes respond to antibiotics, and there are topical and oral options available, and they're considered first line and second line therapies for acne vulgaris. Yeah.
Okay, so what causes fungal acne?
It's fungus, my friend.
let's dive in. What about this?
Yeah, so it's basically a yeast called Pityriasporum or Melassezia. It's a naturally occurring yeast found on the skin, much like the bacteria that causes acne, which is Propionibacterium acnes, guys. But this yeast basically can infect the pore and can lead to symptoms that are very similar to acne. And there are different types of Melassezia actually on the skin. Mm-hmm. So there's Melassezia globosa, Melassezia restricta, Melassezia sympodialis. That was a hard one to say. But then there's also Candida that can cause fungal. Science also says that Candida is a naturally occurring yeast found on the skin, and it's also been isolated from acne lesions, but I haven't seen any literature saying that Candida on the skin can cause fungal acne.
Okay.
Yeah, and there are some risk factors, right?
Yeah, there are. This includes hygiene and climate. So excessive sweating can actually increase your risk for fungal acne, and it's actually more common in hot and humid climates.
Like Florida.
Oh, yeah, so humid.
Or Texas.
Oh my gosh.
You're about to go to Texas.
Yeah, that's true, but it hopefully won't be too hot and humid.
Yeah. And there's also pollution. I actually saw this study, and I think it was fascinating. So they saw that the relative abundance of Melassezia species was found to be significantly higher in the highly polluted areas than in less polluted areas. Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
That makes me think about a lot of things because there's like a possible connection between pollution and acne, mm-hmm. like regular acne too.
Yeah.
But okay.
I was speaking to an MD about like the skin microbiome, and he was saying that due to pollution, but also other factors, people's skin microbiome, the cities are totally different compared to like people out in the country, you know, like on a farm.
Yeah. Anyways, inside joke. Kind of.
Kind of. If you've been following, you know that Dr. Marola grew up on a farm.
But I really didn't.
And there's also skincare routine, right? So another risk factor is going to be like these skincare routines that have like topicals that are very, very occlusive, and it could also sometimes promote flares. Yeah. And then there's also like pharmaceuticals that are considered like a risk factor too. So there's like immunosuppressive medications and then antibiotics, which you spoke about earlier. Those can increase fungal acne, a risk for fungal acne. Mm-hmm. And there's also like conditions where people's immune systems are lower, like with diabetes, HIV, certain types of cancers. All of those could increase somebody's risk for fungal acne.
So how do you test for this?
Yeah, so the diagnostic criteria is basically using a KOH prep. So KOH prep is basically taking like a sample of the skin and then like putting potassium hydroxide, which is like a liquid, and then you basically look at it at under a microscope. Then there's also a Wood's lamp, and a Wood's lamp is basically like using a light, and then under certain conditions, the skin will glow a different color. And in regards to the Wood's lamp and fungal acne, when the light is put over the actual fungal acne areas, it will glow yellow-green, which is...
Oh, yeah. So interesting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then according to literature, they say that you could start treatment while you're still waiting for the KOH prep to really say it is fungal acne.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I guess that's in a way treating empirically too, mm-hmm, right? Because mm-hmm, if you start doing this treatment... and then you notice that your skin's getting better, then that could be kind of like a clue.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, usually when patients like have acne, they think that, oh, this is just regular acne, but sometimes the antibiotics don't make it better, you know, and it actually starts to worsen. And I feel like that's kind of like a flag in like some providers' heads, you know, mm-hmm, thinking like, oh, this is probably not like bacterial-based acne or folliculitis, or bacterial-based folliculitis, but most likely like fungal, you know?
Okay, so let's move on to treatments for this. How would conventional treatment differ from naturopathic treatment when you're treating fungal acne?
Yeah, so we speak about this a lot in past episodes, but I also speak about it a lot on social media. Conventional treatment, well, in regards to naturopathic treatment, it's holistic and integrative, you know? So I really want to understand what's causing the symptoms that a patient is experiencing and treating those causes from a integrative perspective. Mm-hmm. Because as naturopathic doctors, we're trained in both natural and pharmaceutical therapies. So we're basically able to provide like a balanced point of view and just really like let patients know these are what your treatment options are. Basically, like the patient can choose what they would prefer. Now, in regards to conventional medical treatment for fungal acne, there's currently no approved treatment guideline, internationally approved treatment guideline for the management of fungal acne or malassezia folliculitis. But there are like antifungal medications that can be prescribed by a provider that can be topical or oral. So it could be like systemic itraconazole. And then there's also tretinoin and benzoyl peroxide that might be used. And then there's also, have you been seeing this on social media? Like people using dandruff shampoo on their face?
Yeah, I have heard of that.
Yeah. It's actually really interesting because that's one of the topical therapies. It's selenium sulfide once a day for 3 days, then weekly. That's what this study said. And then there's also systemic. So in this study, they also said that systemic antifungal monotherapy is thought to be more efficient than topical monotherapy. Mm. But yeah, it really, I guess it depends on like what the patient prefers, but also what the provider sees, right? And then in this study, they also said that recurrence is common after treatment is completed.
Oh. And you know what this makes me think of? If it's recurring.
Uh-huh.
What? What's going on inside?
Exactly. But yeah, it's really interesting. I'm still trying to figure out like what the science is in regards to like what's going on from within, because it seems like the gut microbiome definitely affects like the skin microbiome, right?
Right.
But I haven't seen any studies that really say like the gut microbiome causes an increase in like certain types of yeast on the skin, right? That lead to fungal acne, at least. But there is like this strong like fungal connection between like diet and dandruff or like seborrheic dermatitis. But yeah, I just haven't seen any literature in regards to fungal acne and gut health. But like when I do treat patients, like I'm not going to say I'm like an expert at it, but when I have treated fungal acne, I do look from within. And we'll speak about that in a few minutes, guys. But yeah, in regards to naturopathic treatment, like what I said, I didn't really see much literature in regards to like root causes and like natural options. I mean, like in regards to root cause, we do know it's like due to fungus, right? But it's like, why is that happening? Is it because of these like increased risk factors? Do we treat those risk factors, address those risk factors? Or like, is there something else going on like with the gut, you know? But yeah, in regards to literature and natural options, there is some like, I only found one study, honestly, and it's going to be photodynamic therapy. And this isn't actually natural now that I'm thinking about it, because they do use methyl 5 amino luvulinic acid. And they basically use that topical pharmaceutical and then expose areas to light. And it basically was found to be effective. They said that it was an effective treatment option for patients with recalcitrant malassezia folliculitis, basically like fungal acne that doesn't respond to treatment. But yeah, so in regards to fungal acne, have you had the option or have you had the opportunity to treat fungal acne in the past, Dr. Marola?
I actually have not.
I hear you.
I'm wondering, there are a couple of patients though that I'm thinking of off the top of my head that may have had something or may have had this that I just missed.
Yeah.
Because they weren't getting better with their acne treatments, but also they couldn't afford to keep seeing me because at least in California, it is out of pocket pay. So I'm wondering if maybe we had explored those options and tried treating it empirically.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't afford testing either.
But yeah, I've had the opportunity to treat a few cases, not a lot, guys. Okay, so like what I said, I'm not going to say like I'm an expert at treating fungal acne, but I can share what I've seen. Since there is little literature on natural options for fungal acne, I relied on naturopathic philosophy. So it's really like seeing the person as a whole, like really seeing them holistically. Mm-hmm. So I address these cases like how I usually do, externally and internally at the same time. So in regards to external options, I saw that optimizing someone's skincare routine with less occlusive products have been partially helpful. That's like really addressing some of the risk factors, right? And then in regards to internal imbalances, the cases that I saw also had some gut components into it. So like when patients see me, like I like to, it's 90 minutes, like we talk about so many things, but the gut is so important, you know, especially as a naturopathic doctor, we think like overall health is determined by gut health. And in regards to my patients, like we do speak about like, oh, do you experience gas and bloat? Do you experience any changes to bowel movements? And interestingly enough, these fungal acne cases, they also had an IBS picture in regards to like what they were experiencing with their gut. And since that was happening, I did a stool analysis. I did the GI map. Is that what you do?
I love the GI map.
It's amazing.
And they just revamped the way that their results look like.
Really?
Yeah, it's a lot nicer.
Okay, that's good. It used to be so confusing interpreting it. But yeah, I did the stool analysis and basically helped us understand what was going on with the gut microbiome. And for those of you guys who don't know what the gut microbiome is, it's basically like all the bacteria, fungi, parasites, and viruses found in the gut. And then I've also seen that topical and oral pharmaceuticals have been effective for cases when natural options did not work or if the patient really wanted a pharmaceutical option. Because with natural treatments, it could take some time. And some patients just want clearer skin now, you know, because it's really affecting their like...
Self-esteem?
Self-esteem. There you go. I couldn't think about it right now. It's early in the morning. Yeah, it's really affecting their self-esteem. So yeah, it's all about like really listening to the patient and what they prefer, natural or pharmaceutical, and giving them the appropriate support and recommendations.
Have you ever used ozonated creams or oils?
No, but that would actually be interesting because we do know that's like antimicrobial.
And antifungal.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
There's only one company that I can think of off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
They have one that's like an antifungal, antiparasitic healing cream that's ozonated.
Ooh.
But it has coconut oil.
Oh, which is comedogenic or acne-causing,
so
right?
So for the face, I don't think so.
Yeah. The idea of using ozonated topicals is really interesting.
Yeah, and then there's another company called Pure O3.
Oh, I've heard of them.
They have some stuff. It seems like it might be safe to use for the face. It's ozonated oils, but they have like different types of oils. So like if you were to use something like jojoba or however you say that word, jojoba, or sunflower oil, those would be good options.
They're the ones with the olive oil one too, or no?
I think they have an olive oil. Yeah, okay. They do.
Yeah, I remember seeing that a lot back in like 2018, And then I totally forgot about it until now when you bring it up or brought it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's, yeah, that's really interesting. I really want to like look more into the science in regards to like what other topicals can be done in regards to the natural realm. Because when I was doing sleuthing through like the literature, I was really like focusing on gut health or like something else, you know, not really just like looking at like natural topicals. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking about it now. But yeah. That's our episode. It was a quick episode, snack of an episode again.
Another snack.
So just some quick summary and takeaways. So we have five takeaways, guys. So the first thing is that fungal acne, aka Malassezia folliculitis, can look a lot like regular acne, but there are some key differences in how they look, where they're located, and how they respond to antibiotics. Number two, while there is no internationally approved treatment guidelines for fungal acne, science says that topical and oral antifungal medication can be used. Number three, skincare products and environment can trigger fungal acne. So addressing these potential root causes may be worthwhile to look into for people who don't want to take pharmaceuticals. With that, swapping out occlusive products may be worthwhile. Number four, while there is little evidence for natural options, there is one study that speaks about the effectiveness of light-based therapies for fungal acne that doesn't respond to pharmaceuticals. We're going to look more into the research, guys. And then number five, we also shared our experiences with treating fungal acne with naturopathic medical philosophy. Like what I said, I've seen that addressing the cause of a patient's skin issues are important. So that may mean addressing skincare products, underlying causes that affect immune function, and checking gut health. But for some, they only have the bandwidth to address skin symptoms directly, and there are options for that as well. And at the end of the day, it's all about listening to the patient, hearing what they prefer, and recognizing what to recommend to them within the context of their whole entire skin journey, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, those are our five takeaways, my friends.
Awesome.
So make sure to connect with us. If you found this podcast helpful, make sure to connect with us. Let us know on social media. Our Instagrams will be in the podcast description below. If you do want to see us in office, our websites will also be in the podcast description. And next week, we are going to have an interview, actually.
Ooh.
Yeah, with Dahlia. She is the founder of Editrix, a postbiotic skincare company. But yeah, make sure to subscribe to her podcast so you don't miss out on that. And if you found this podcast helpful, make sure to share it with your friends and family. But thanks, guys. See you next week.
See you next week.